first reading is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 30. Now listen, today I'm giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you and the land you're about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away and you refuse to listen, and if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live a long, good life in the land you are crossing the Jordan to occupy. Today, I've given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now, I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make. Oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land the Lord swore to give your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is the word of the Lord.
A reading from the first letter from Philemon. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker, also to Apphia, our sister, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. Pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I'm in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favour you do would not seem forced but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefits from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down, estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to a war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask him for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything, you cannot be my disciple." This is the gospel of our Lord.
The cost of costly love. Costly love is different from cheap affection. It requires sacrifice, surrender, and risk. True love is never without cost. If you truly love, it will cost you something. If you love Jesus, it will cost you everything. In this gospel portion, which was read to us, we hear this saying. We hear Jesus saying, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself cannot be my disciple." This sounds shocking. Why? The fifth commandment says, honor your father and mother. But here Jesus says, hate your father and mother. And the law says, love one another as you love yourself. Jesus taught us that love one another as I have loved you. Is it contradictory? I don't think so. It's a figurative, it's a figure of speech, a semantic idiom. For example, in English, we have this expression, it is raining cats and dogs. Does that mean we have to go and see cats and dogs falling from the sky? No. In English, another expression, I'm so hungry, I could eat a heart. Does that mean we will be able to eat a heart? It's an exaggeration. So it's a semantic idiom. In semantic languages, the word prefer is not there. And therefore, the word love and hate comes. In other words, what Jesus says here is, if you have to choose between your family and me, your loyalty to me must come first. You have to choose A over B. You have to have loyalty to the Lord. Then comes others. That's what Jesus is saying. Let us not say that Jesus is asking us to hate our father, mother, wife, and children. No, that's not what it is. You prefer God over all of them. Okay, now, in this passage, Jesus is also saying, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. If you take up the cross and do not follow him, you are not God's disciple, Jesus' disciple. The love that we have is costly love, and that involves a price, that involves a cost. Have you ever pushed a bus to start? Have you ever done that? Push a bus to start. It was very common during my time while I was growing up. See, the bus would start a stop in the middle of the road. The driver would say, get all men to get down and push the bus. Okay, so you had to get down all the men. See, when he says all the men, if you sit inside, that's a shame on you. Women are allowed to sit, fortunately. So all men should go down and push the bus. Because, you know, these days we have got all sophisticated buses and the electronic buses are there. So manually, when the bus is on motion, with a certain speed, he will put the gear and the bus starts. So when you see 25 men coming down to push the bus, that's a scene. What is the scene? Not everyone push the bus. Some of them stand and watch. Some of them simply put their hand, but they don't push it. And some of them would shout and say, push, push. They don't do it. Only 10 of them probably put their energy and push the bus, and the bus starts. You are the disciple of Jesus. Are we simply shouting, saying that push, push? Are we simply putting our hand and making a scene? Or are we committing ourselves to push the bus? That's what Jesus is saying here. If you are my follower, you take the call seriously. There is a cost involved. For example, you are a professor in a college. Someone comes to you and asks you, do you know so-and-so who is a student in your class? The professor says, yes, he might have attended my class, but he is not my student. Is Jesus saying that you are his disciple? Are you taking the call seriously? Today we will look at how Paul, Philemon, and Onesimus showed that extraordinary the love, the costly love, how they acted unusually in exhibiting that love, how they showed, how they paid the price of costly love. That's what we are going to look at it very quickly. We will learn from these three characters from the short book, one chapter book of Philemon. What is the background to the story? Very simple story. Philemon was a rich man. In his household, there were several slaves working. And one of the slaves, Onesimus, took money and ran away. Slave owner has got every right when he is caught, when the runaway slave is caught, he has every right not only punish him, but also punish him to the death. So Onesimus ran away with a decent amount. And now when he ran away, he ran to Rome. In Rome, Paul was in prison. He was probably living, he was given some kind of a concession. He could live in a house with the Roman guards waiting for him. So while he was in this house watching, probably Onesimus was walking around here and there. He lost all his money. So Paul invited him and he talked to him, and Onesimus now became a Christian. When he became a Christian, Paul saw in him a great potential. Oh, he could be a great minister. And he knew already Philemon. So he thought he would send Onesimus back to Philemon and asking Philemon to release Onesimus for God's service. And that's the context of that letter. We have three characters. We will quickly look at all these three characters, how they excelled. Now, when we look at Paul, he's in prison. He's in chains. And he could always say that it's a difficult time. I'm going through a time of difficulty. Let me not do anything. I will wait only when I come out of chains. He didn't do that. He preached the gospel in spite of his chains. That's something remarkable. The cost of costly love. I'm not going to be bound by my situation. I will rise up from my situation and I will continue to do the God's work. That's very important. And he looks beyond his circumstances and shares the gospel with whoever comes near, even with the Roman soldiers. He was always communicating gospel to the people. Now, when Onesimus became Christian, he was willing to pay the money that he stolen. I don't know whether Paul had got enough money. But he takes the initiative. He says, okay, you have stolen money. That money has to be paid back. I will take care of that situation. And he could have kept Onesimus with him because Philemon is known to him. I'm an apostle. I have authority. Why I should send you back to Philemon? I will tell him, you continue to serve with me. That's not what Paul is doing. Paul is saying, no, you have done a mistake. You have to go and present yourself before your master, and I will ask him to release you. He is taking that risk of sending Onesimus back to Philemon. I'm saying the word risk because he's a runaway slave. What guarantee he has that he would go back to the master? He may run away somewhere else, but he is the cost of costly love. He believes in him. He takes the risk and saying that go back. And he is also, when you read this book, 121 verses chapter, very beautiful. He's pleading. He has every right to say, I am an apostle. I was the one who taught you many lessons. Why don't you simply accept whatever I say? He's pleading. He is appealing him with love. So Paul exhibits this costly love. He risks his ministry by identifying with a runaway slave. He risks his friendship with Philemon by pleading for forgiveness instead of punishment. He even risks his own resources offering to pay Onesimus' debt. Now let's come to Philemon. He's a good Christian who took care of God's people, a rich man, but he kept his house open for a house church. A church was meeting in his house. And he took care of the saints who came to his door. He washed their feet, he fed them, he took care of them. And some of these saints could stay in his house. Paul himself stayed in his house. If you look at Philemon, you cannot find any mistake whatsoever in him. There's no issue. A perfect Christian, what to ask for? Now, Paul is saying, send Onesimus back to me. Philemon is in trouble with that request because there are other slaves working in his house, and if he is not punishing the runaway slave, that is not a good model for before other slaves. He is taking the risk of forgiving. And the scripture says, if you read Colossians chapter 4, verse 9, yes, Philemon released Onesimus, and Onesimus was in the company of Paul. Paul sent Tychicus and Onesimus to Colossae. This is a history. But Philemon is obeying or responding positively. If he has not responded to Paul's request, there is nothing wrong. He did not do anything wrong. He would simply follow the norm of the day. He would simply follow the rule of the time. The rule of the time is, if a runaway slave comes back, you have to punish him. The runaway slave could have been killed. But he rise above that situation, and he shows that extraordinary love, and he releases him. A perfect Christian, okay, can I say that perfect? A Christian where we don't find any fault in him, but he even goes beyond. Andrew Carnegie said in a graduating ceremony, there are three kinds of people. All people in this world fall in these three categories. Number one, those who do not do their duty. Number two, those who do only their duty. Number three, those who do their duty plus a little more. He says, the little more that wins. That's what exactly our man Philemon did. He added little more, and that little more matters. Cost of costly love. Are we adding the little more? Let's now come to Onesimus. His name in Greek is profitable. The meaning of his name is profitable or useful. And Paul uses that word very beautifully in this letter. He was useless before, but now he's useful, coming to you. And he's useful for me also in the work that I do. Send him to me. Yes, he is useful. Let's look at Onesimus. What do we see in him? He is now willing to go back to his master. A runaway slave, stole money, willing to face the consequences. Not running away from the consequences, but willing to face the consequences. And now he's going all alone with a letter. He did not allow the old nature to creep in, to run away, not to go back to his master. But he did not allow the old nature to creep in, but he still went to his master. And the master, of course, forgave him and sent him for God's work. The history says, which is already put on the screen, the history says, in AD 110, Ignatius, while being taken from Antioch to Rome for his martyrdom, wrote letters to the churches in Asia Minor. So Ignatius wrote a letter to even Onesimus, and he addressed Onesimus, the bishop of Ephesus. He was tradition says he was the bishop after Timothy. A runaway slave, a person who was a thief, now became the bishop of Ephesus. Three people, the first two people, Paul and Philemon, showed that extraordinary love. They showed that a cost has to be paid, and we are willing to do it. And when they did it, we see an extraordinary man coming out of that price. I will finish with this illustration. A pig and the chicken were discussing breakfast. The chicken suggested ham and eggs. The pig replied, "No, not ham." The chicken said, "Why not? I bring egg and you bring ham. We both contribute on the table." The pig said, "For you, it is involvement. You provide the eggs for sure, but for me, it is total commitment. I have to kill myself in order to give the ham." Total commitment. Cost of costly love. There is cost. Now the question comes, is it that burdensome? Is the yoke heavy? This question comes, you know, I want to follow Jesus. Is it going to be that difficult? That question comes, right? Friends, I have been in ministry for 40 years. 1985, I came to ministry, now 2025. The first year when I came back from my missionary work to my church people asked me a question. How difficult it was for you in this last 1 year? Because I lived in a place where there was no electricity, no restrooms, everything. It's a very difficult place, yes. Now things have improved. And so they asked this question, how difficult was it in the last 1 year? I literally scratched my head and I was trying to find what was difficult. It's a joy. It's a joy in doing the ministry. It's a joy in carrying the cross and following. As long as, God willing, as long as I live, I want to work. There is joy. Yes, you make sacrifices. People may insult you. People may humiliate you. You may be going through a lot of difficulties. But in all that, the yoke is easy. The burden is light because the Lord is going to go with you. He is asking you to commit yourself to follow him. There is a cost of this costly love. May the dear Lord help us to commit ourselves to follow him. God bless us all. Amen.